broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution, but we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're convinced we can use the checks and balances our founding fathers fought so hard to give us to restore the republic. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're all about. We need your help everywhere, all the time, 24/7. We need to stand for the sacred cause of liberty. The supreme law of the land is our blueprint, the Constitution for the United States of America. And wow, have we got a lot of work ahead of us, to say the least, don't we? We are live indeed, ladies and gentlemen, from Freedom Fest. It is day two. If you can't attend in person, freedomfest.com is where you can go for the live streaming option. If you can attend, would love to see you. We're at booth, what, M8? Is that the right booth, folks? M8, because we're on Media Row, live on your radio. We have a guest with us, Brianna Sagal, is that how you say it?
Sagdahl, yeah.
Sagdahl. Thanks. All right, welcome, Brianna. How are you?
Thank you so much, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, now, Brianna lives in Oregon.
Actually, no? I'm a political refugee from the state of Oregon. My family recently just moved here to South Dakota.
Wow. All right. So you move here to take advantage of one of the states that has a little bit of freedom left. Is that what you're saying?
That's absolutely right. I've been a journalist, policy guru. I ran for office, and then I turned to reporting the atrocities that were coming out of the Salem legislature. And, you know, as we really watched and read policy as it was coming out, decided it was time to pack up and skedaddle.
I totally get it. You didn't want to live in, what was that city called in Oregon?
Oh, Portland.
You don't want to live in Chaz?
Yeah, exactly.
I joke a little bit. I remember the city. I'm just kind of saying, what was that city? Chaz? It right. Kind of appeared and disappeared and what, still half exists? Is that kind of how it is?
So, the autonomous zone, I think, was actually out of Seattle, but...
Oh, that was in Washington.
Portland never disappeared. That's the difference. So Portland just permanently occupied, and now they're calling it a homelessness crisis, but it's really Antifa just camping out on the streets.
Wow. All right, so you're a journalist. You're also a government strategist. You're with KSLM.
KSLM,
right?
Yep.
KSLM,
yep.
And their AM-FM dial. Terrestrial radio, if you will.
That's right.
With actually some quite hard-hitting talk hosts and news, right?
Yeah, that's right. We just brought on Dan Bongino and Charlie Kirk, and we've got syndications across the country right now. So, yeah, we're doing what we can to help educate the masses.
So you're still going to stay with the Oregon station even though you moved to South Dakota, right?
So, I'm still reporting. I'm still getting facts out to the people in the state of Oregon, especially, you know, following the upcoming election. And I just started writing for a small local newspaper in my new hometown of Madison. And it's really cute. I get to report on simple community news like flowers and, goings on.
Yeah. Without the scandals, it's kind of like what we'd like to do. Just have a nice, enjoyable life, right?
I got to tell you, it's a nice break, Sam.
So are you traveling and doing in-depth journalism then, digging in?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, you know, I would love to go more where the action is. I'm a mom and I'm a wife first and foremost.
Good for you.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And so that obviously takes precedence in my life. And but I get to, you know, I have an amazing supportive husband and I get to travel and, you know, he takes care of the horses and the home front and the kids.
There you go. How many kids do you have?
We have two.
How old are they?
They're six and almost two.
All right. So the little tykes are missing their mom a little bit, but, you know, we understand you got to kind of keep all things hopping these days, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So tell me about the reporting then. Have you had dangerous experiences?
You know, I think, no, I haven't been in the heat of Antifa and whatnot. I think the most dangerous run-in that I've had is, you know, the excessive force from Capitol Police when patriots have gone to the Capitol. You know, in the state of Oregon, Kate Brown has locked down the Capitol, which, you know, California hasn't even done.
Yeah, and, I don't understand why, but okay.
Yeah. So, you know, apparently COVID is so dangerous that we can go, you know, to Walmart and sit down at Applebee's.
What are you talking about? 99.5% of the people get COVID and it doesn't even really cause any problems hardly at all.
I know. It's amazing. It's actually 99.8% survivability rate in the state of Oregon. That, right. You know, I think, honestly, the Democrats in Oregon are more afraid of the people than the virus. But we'll pretend to go along with their game, right? So, yeah, I'd say the scariest thing that I've ever witnessed is the excessive force to patriots, which I had never, you know, I'd never seen that amount of force used on Antifa, that's for sure.
That's because they're domestic terrorists, these patriots.
That's right.
Running
I
around
heard.
Talking about the Constitution, God, family, and country. How dare they?
I know. And inherent rights versus civil rights. I mean, I think that's probably the scariest thing right there.
God-given, inalienable kind, that kind of...
Exactly. Yeah. No, you know, man gives us our rights, government gives us our rights, and we just need to, you know, go along and keep our heads down.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just go ahead, and if you need to be re-educated, we'll put you in the, what is it, the re-education system?
Right. I think Hillary Clinton called it re-education camps or whatever she called it. Yeah.
All right. There you have it. So as you've reported and taken on issues, what are the hottest topics for you right now? For me, it's like Biden trying to take our guns, trying to lock us down with masks and force vaccines coming door to door and, you know, that kind of stuff. The climate change, they're going to use all these things to just back us into a corner.
It's you're absolutely right. And I'd say it's kind of a trifecta. I would say that, you know, climate change is absolutely being used on a policy level to replace our economic, our current economic system. I would say that the forced vaccine mandates are being used to usurp our constitutional rights. And I'd say that social justice is being used really to bypass our constitutional rights and replace, like we just talked about, you know, inherent rights with civil rights. So we have this trifecta unfolding. And I think people really need to be aware of the policies that are both laid out and that are being passed on a consistent basis. It's interesting, again, the dynamics in the state of Oregon. We have a what's called, you know, a Democratic supermajority. So it's the opposite of Texas, where in Oregon, you know, we can't get any policy passed at all. We can't, you know, stand up to any of the policy. And so we've had Republicans who have had to walk out and flee and hide, as opposed to what Democrats are doing right now. Only Republicans had a really good reason to walk out.
You know, it's hard to even know what to focus on. And I think they're doing that on purpose. What do they say? Just to overload, just overwhelm the system. Isn't that the Solinsky kind of idea?
Absolutely. But then, you know, you have to take into account Hill & Knowlton, for example, is the PR firm that was used to hide tobacco deaths. And, you know, essentially what Hill stated was, why hide or run from science? Why don't we just hijack it? Why don't we just take it over? And so that's exactly the tactics that they have been using this entire pandemic. And, you know, recently the Biden administration had hired Hill & Knowlton, just like the World Health Organization hired Hill & Knowlton. And so what's happened is, you know, science is for sale and they have hijacked the narrative. They're paying journalists to pump out propaganda pieces, you know, and at the same time, they're hiding things like the difference between the absolute risk reduction, which is 0.07% for Pfizer BioNTech, 1.1% for Moderna. And, you know, and they're shrouding it in secrecy, saying that it's 95% effective, which is actually only the relative risk reduction. And as you were just pointing out, when we have a 99.8% survivability rate, the relative risk reduction really doesn't mean anything.
Well, and then Dr. Pierre Corey and others say we could use ivermectin, and that becomes even tiny compared to even that.
Right.
And ivermectin's been, what, 50 years plus around, stable as a rock, tested till the cows come home, inexpensive as all get out and more. But they won't even talk about it. He was a rock star until he took that on. Now he supposedly has no credibility, right?
Right. Yeah, I was actually quite shocked when social media giants moved to censor a Senate hearing And you have to think about that. Social media is censoring.
Yeah, you censor the president. You censor hearings in Congress. You just shut everybody down you don't agree with, right?
That's absolutely
And the question
right.
is, where do these thugs get their authority for this kind of stuff? It's out of control. It's unprecedented. And you and I have got to stand up and stop it.
Yep, that's right, Sam. And I'm so grateful for you, and I'm grateful for the interview. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate your time.
Brianna, how do you follow you? How do you keep an eye on what you're doing?
It's a really good question. You know, I'm always so busy behind the scenes. I'm really putting myself out there. I like to report the truth, and I like to support as many patriots as I possibly can. So, you know, I'm on Facebook, and I dabble with Twitter and a little bit on LinkedIn. But, you know, I'm not really a out in front kind of person. But if you have a great story, make sure and send it to me. I'm happy to write about it. I'm a writer. I'm not a front person, if you will.
All right. And what's the website for the radio stations?
You can find us at klsm.com.
Love it.
All right.
Appreciate you.
Great.
Got last question.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of the Freedom Fest?
This is amazing.
Is
this
all
is
right?
really, yeah. This
worth
is
your time?
Really awesome. Absolutely worth my time.
As a journalist, give me the one line inside report. Can you do that?
Well, it's a really good place to network. How about that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's a great place to network.
Yeah.
Rock stars for liberty everywhere.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. Appreciate all of them, including you.
Thank you. And I appreciate you.
There she goes, Brianna, ladies and gentlemen, journalist, mother. Well, she's a mother, then she's a journalist, right? Let me get this straight. She's got her priorities straight. That is the point, right? She's a government strategist. No wonder she has no time left, right? Could you imagine being a government strategist? Wow. I never want to be one of those. I'm telling you right now. All right, Freedom Fest, I'm live. This is Liberty Roundtable on your favorite news the networks refuse to use, talk station.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, live from Freedom Fest, William Jasper. Bill Jasper with me, well-known journalist and senior editor at the New American magazine, thenewamerican.com, one of my favorite magazines. They've been around for a long time. Their reporting is stellar. And you guys do such great research, you don't even have to retract, huh, Bill?
That's right. Well, that's what we try to give to all our readers.
And I think that's your record over the years have been impressive. You know, a lot of journalists kind of melt down and get caught. And, oh, man, you guys have such stellar reporting that retractions just really don't happen.
Well, I've been with the magazine from the beginning. The New American Magazine has been around for now over 40 years, and it came out of actually the combination of two magazines, which I had written for previously, and that was the Review of the News, which is a weekly news magazine, and American Opinion, which was a more in-depth journal. And we combined those back in the 1980s to create the New American Magazine, which is published by the John Birch Society. And so we have been familiar with what people are referring to now as the cancel culture for many decades. We've been dealing with that for a long time.
I think that's critical to kind of focus on and understand that, you know what, there's a lot of stuff going on the cancel culture. And that's really, I mean, the broader context of this is they want to destroy America, don't they? They just know they
Absolutely.
Can't get their global agenda without it.
It's a all-out war against God, family, country, against everything that is sacred, everything that we hold holy, so that you see nothing is out of target for them. They're going after everything, after marriage, after the family, after parental rights, after property rights, taking down all of our images, replacing them, just as we saw in communist China during the Cultural Revolution, where they tore down all of the statues of all of the previous people who had been held in esteem, against Confucius, against Buddha, anything else. They had to replace it with their communist religion. And that's what we're seeing right now. And many Americans, millions of Americans, are now realizing, particularly after the last 4 years, where the intensification really was crazy against President Trump, and not only against him, but against his family, against all those
anybody
who supported
associated
him.
Guilt by association, right?
And then everybody else. I mean, they started coming after all the statues of all the patriots of the past, had to tear them down, of Christopher Columbus, of Father Junipero Serra, of General Lee and Jackson, anybody, George Washington. So we're seeing this attack on culture throughout the whole culture, and the attempt to replace it then with the new icons. And so I've pointed out a number of times in Seattle, if you want to see how far this is going, you go to Seattle, they have a 16-foot tall statue of Lenin right there in the public square. That's fine. They can do that, but they can't allow the Christian cross. They can't allow any sacred images. All of that has to be destroyed. People are realizing that we are really facing a communist revolution here.
And what it really is, I know a lot of people believe it's, well, coming for the straights, or coming from the people that are one man, one woman marriages, or the family, or this and that. And I think those are certainly attacks, no question. But really, communism is a godless institution. And what it really is those who believe in God versus those who don't. They're really coming for the Christians. That's their end game, isn't it?
Well, very definitely. The Christians are the number one target, and Christianity itself, because if Karl Marx from the very beginning, and here you have people like Patrice Couleurs, who is the founder, one of the three founders of Black Lives Matter. She came out, and everyone knows now, she came out on video saying, we're trained Marxists. But Karl Marx was not an atheist, as is commonly believed. He was an anti-theist. He was anti-God. He wrote poems against
God. So an atheist is just somebody who doesn't believe in God. Or realize the existence. This guy was anti-God.
Right. He actually associated himself with Satan. He wrote poems to Lucifer. So we know from the way that the communists operate all over the world that they are very demonic in this unnatural obsession with attacking everything Christian, everything godly.
Now, I love that you highlight that theme, because the John Birch Society and others really kind of cut their teeth on standing up against the godless communist agenda. They got really slaughtered in the media and by mainstream government and everything else for it. But what I commend the John Birch Society for most is, you know what, they stood strong, they took the hits, they remained standing, they remained true to their cause, true to their faith, true to their God, family, and country, is what I would say. And I really think that's commendable. Even with all the abuse they took, they remain one of the quintessential leaders in the freedom movement as a result.
Well, and I thank you. And what really is obvious to anyone who looks at the history, is to see that what Americans are facing right now when they stand up against the socialist, Marxist, communist onslaught is what happens. They're accused of being racist. They're accused of being homophobes. They're accused of being hateful. Well, that's exactly what they leveled at the John Birch Society. And it wasn't because we were any of those things, of course. We believed in constitutional limited government again, for free enterprise, against communism, fascism, socialism, all of the totalitarianisms, and all of the creeping socialism, to potential totalitarianism that always leads to that. And not only that, but the John Birch Society had been in the lead of exposing and opposing the Ku Klux Klan, the American Nazi Party. And
for good reason.
Yes. And we were smeared in the media as being Ku Klux Klan neo-Nazis. In fact, just last week, the Washington Post dredged that up again and claimed that we were the early manifestation of the Nazi Party. You know, so we've been undergoing
in the
that.
USA, basically.
Yes,
right?
Yes, here in the U.S. So, you know, but now that has lost a lot of its...
Yeah, because when everybody's a racist, pretty soon it's like, well, whatever.
Right, the smear kind of loses, and not only that, but everybody else who gets smeared goes, hey, wait a second, they're calling me, they're calling Dr. All these Christian evangelists, and one of the calling them racist and homophobes.
Yeah, James Dobson and Focus on the Family is a racist. Come on now. Yeah. It just loses its mojo.
Yeah. Well, you know, all Christians know that all of us are part of the human race. Jesus Christ died to redeem all of our souls. And so,
those of us who are willing, I agree.
That's right. So all of us are really created in the image and likeness of God, the Imago Dei. So we can't be Christians and really be racists or have any kind of animosity toward anyone because of those incidental features of God's creation.
Well, and when you say, who is your neighbor, love one another, they don't say, except for unless.
Yes.
Okay, it's all-inclusive. I like to say it like this, we're all God's children, when are we going to act like it?
Yes, well, and that's our, that's why the motto of the John Birch Society is less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. We believe that that we have to take individual responsibility for our lives. We have to take individual responsibility for our community. We have to take individual responsibility because God will hold us accountable for helping take care of our neighbor. We don't rely upon government to do that. And government is supposed to be restricted to those issues in which it is supposed to be protecting the rights of the citizens. And unfortunately, for the last several decades, we've been seeing a drift toward, particularly in the products of the government schools, people believing now that government's supposed to take care of us at all levels, at all stages, at all ages. And when government does that, when government can give you everything you want, it can take everything you have.
Well, and it's kind of instructive to understand that we, the people, give our consent and they derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's a very narrowly scoped and documented in the supreme law of the land with divisions of power on purpose. And when they exceed that, they become rogue.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why at the New American Magazine, we cover the whole waterfront on what's happening in the world today and here in the United States on education, on culture, on politics, on globally at the United Nations. I've been a correspondent at the United Nations for over 30 years, and I'm not well-liked at the United Nations, but that's okay. The animosity is mutual. It's a dictator's club, and I'm not there to glorify them as the rest of the media is.
All right, you got a couple more minutes for me?
Sure.
All right, stay there. Quick pause, couple more minutes, ladies and gentlemen, with Bill Jasper, William F. Jasper. He's an American journalist, an author. He's senior editor, thenewamerican.com. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Republicans walked away from the House committee that's investigating January 6th. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi vetoed two of the five Republicans. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy had tapped for the panel.
Pelosi has broken this institution, denying the voice of members who have served in the military.
Wyoming's Liz Cheney, the only Republican on the panel, agreed with Pelosi's decision. Oregon forest officials reported Wednesday the destructive Oregon bootleg fire that ranks as the largest among dozens raging across the western United States was ignited by lightning, but smoldered for days before it was detected. Strike teams are taking advantage of calmer winds, cooler temperatures, and slightly higher humidity over the past 2 days to extend containment lines around the fire. The Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee has fired the director of the opening ceremony on Thursday because of a Holocaust joke he made during a comedy show in 1998. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root from my great friends at Freedom Fest. Have you ever been to Mount Rushmore in South Dakota? Well, here's your opportunity. This July 21st through 24th, thousands of liberty lovers are headed to South Dakota for the greatest libertarian show on earth, Freedom Fest, this time held at the Rushmore Civic Center in Rapid City, South Dakota, with a record-setting crowd. Here's your chance to make new friends and meet the country's top political and business leaders, authors, and filmmakers in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Some of the star speakers this year, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Drew, Larry Elder, U.S. Senator Mike Lee, U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis, the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey, Steve Moore, John Fun, Grover Norquist, Tom Woods, and the infamous pandemic mock trial. Go to freedomfest.com. Use promo code WAR50 to get $50 off the registration fee. That's freedomfest.com. With promo code WAR50, fly there, drive there, bike there, RV there, be there. Freedom Fest in South Dakota. Get your tickets now at freedomfest.com.
More athletes at the Tokyo Olympics test positive for COVID-19. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
As competition gets underway at the Tokyo Olympics, there have been a rising number of positive COVID tests. Since July 1st, 75 people connected to the Games have tested positive, with several athletes having their Olympic experience ended by the virus. The most recent American beach volleyball player Taylor Crabb being forced out of the competition by a positive test. Cases in Tokyo have hit a six-month high, and the entire city is under a state of emergency until after the Games. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
With an Afghanistan withdrawal update, Tim Berg has more.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the final withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan is on track for completion by the end of next month.
The president has made a decision that we're going to get it done, and we're going to get it done right.
Austin adding that your tax dollars will continue to support Afghan security forces.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Talk at your fingertips, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. We are live at freedomfest.com. If you can join us in person, we'd love to see you at our booth. M8 is the LovingLiberty.net booth. LovingLiberty.net, ladies and gentlemen. Spread the word. Tell the tale of liberty, would you please? And we're talking to William F. Jasper, an American journalist, an author, senior editor of the New American Magazine, thenewamerican.com, to learn more. And I wanted just to keep him on for a couple of extra minutes to drill in a little bit to some of the stories that he's working on. I see tough talk, warm embrace, Biden, Wall Street, and China. That's a mouthful, sir.
We've been covering China from the very beginning. The John Birch Society was actually founded by Robert Welch after he had found out about Captain John Birch, one of the great heroes of World War II, being killed by the communist Chinese right at the last days of World War II. And so his death had been covered up by those in our government at that time who were trying to build China into a communist dictatorship. And they succeeded 4 years later in 1949 in doing that. And so the John Birch Society has been exposing those in our government who have been helping build communism around the world for the last 50 years, 70 years. And in Joe Biden, we have now really an open pro-Beijing, compromised president in the White House, or alleged president, if you believe that he was not really elected. And I believe that the election was stolen. And what we see here with Biden is that he and many of his Wall Street colleagues who supported him, the Democrat Party has built itself up in the last several decades on the lie that it is for the little people and that it is against Wall Street. But all the big Wall Street money from Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan, Citibank, all of the big Blackstone, BlackRock money went to the Democrats and has been for the last several presidential cycles. And all of them are in bed with Communist China, with Beijing. So we see that BlackRock, Blackstone, Carlyle Group, HSBC, all of these big Wall Street banks and financial firms are firmly in bed with Communist China. They're pushing, all, as is big tech, Microsoft. Bill Gates was inducted into the Communist Chinese Academy of Sciences.
He's a good comrade.
Yes. I mean, so here you have the wealthiest billionaires in the world, all chummy comrades with Xi Jinping and the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. And this is what many Americans are beginning to realize.
It's almost country suicidal in that realm, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. But many of these people do not even consider themselves to be Americans anymore. They're global citizens. George Soros received the Global Citizen Award. Stephen Schwarzman, the CEO of Blackstone, one of the wealthiest billionaires.
What's that guy's name?
Stephen Schwarzman. He has set up in Beijing Schwarzman University at Tsinghua University in China. And he has the Schwarzman Scholars Fund. And here he is. Blackstone is one of the biggest financial firms in the world, investment firms. And he has all these deals going with China, as does, just recently I did a story on John L. Thornton. He is a former Goldman Sachs CEO who is now the head of Barrick Gold, the largest gold mining and producing company in the world. He set up all these new deals with Communist China. He loves them, goes over there and meets with all of them. So we have going here what I've referred to as the Orwellian pigmen. In George Orwell's Animal Farm, the last scene, you see the animals, the pigs, and the men getting together, their former enemies. They're getting together in the house. They're having a great big party. And all the other animals creep up to the window, and they look in there, and they see all these men and pigs around the table, and they look back and forth at each other, and they pretty soon they can't tell the men from the pigs. They've all morphed into each other, and that's what we see happening with regard to the top Chinese communist leaders and the big business leaders here in the United States and in Europe.
It's hard to determine friend or foe. Tell me how Hunter Biden and Joe Biden kind of fit into this, too, because that's a scandal that's only the tip of the iceberg, right?
Well, yes, and it's very interesting that and revealing that for 4 years we were hit with this Trump-Russia conspiracy collusion that was going on and on. And all of the major media relentlessly pounded that. And yet here, that turned out to be all totally false. They came up with zero, with zilch on that. But here we have the evidence of Hunter Biden's dealings with Communist China, the big payouts, not only from China, but from Ukraine. And Joe Biden, the evidence is overwhelming that he knew all about it and was in on this. So we have
not only was he in on it and we knew about it, but he even bragged about money associated with it too, right?
Absolutely.
This isn't a maybe. This isn't a we think this, they think that. This is a blatantly publicly admitted money trail.
Right. And so if there's one thing overall that Donald Trump did for America and the world was to not only reveal by the way in which he was attacked, the fake news media, but when he made that famous statement and then reiterated it, that the New York Times, the CNN, the ABC, NBC, whatnot, are fake news and are the enemy of the American people. It's really true. What we have seen happening and what we currently see happening around the world and here in the United States, whether it's with COVID, whether it's with the Black Lives Matter and the riots that are destroying the country, or all of the other attacks, the drag queen story hour, whatnot, that would not be happening without the conspiracy, the collusion of the media.
Amen to that. Do you think that we can create accountability here? Do you think there's enough of us now? More Americans are waking up. I've been at this for 25 years on the radio, longer as a patriot. You've been at it for 40 plus years. You know what? In the past, we haven't had the mojo. We haven't had the wherewithal or greater numbers to call a halt to their con game. Do you think we're getting there?
Oh, we definitely are. And that's why they're so desperately trying to stop us. That's why they're trying to cancel us everywhere on all the big platforms, why they're trying to demonetize and demonize everyone. So, I mean, their desperation and their willingness to come out in the open more and more on this is showing that we're forcing their hand. And, you know, we just have to pour it on. Americans have to realize that, hey, it's time to stop messing around. We're in our final hour. If we're going to save this country, save this civilization, if we're going to save liberty for our posterity, for our children, grandchildren, we better get in the fight with everything we have. And I think more and more Americans are doing that.
They are. They're finding ways to get involved. They're helping fund what we do. People are subscribing to the New American magazine. Help people understand before I let you fly, Bill. What's the difference in the New American and the John Birch Society? John Birch Society is a creator of the New American?
Yes. The John Birch Society is an educational, patriotic organization. And the Birch Society has actual chapters that meet every month. Some of them meet every week. They actually have projects. They work locally on local events. We concentrate our efforts on national legislation, stopping bad legislation, promoting good legislation.
And each chapter freely rose to do that at the guidance of the meetings and the leaders and those who
are involved. Right. And then the New American Magazine is our actual news and analysis weapon that's out there to give people the sword of truth. And so we have a really good bunch of writers and researchers and reporters. I'm sure you've had Alex Newman, my co-senior editor, on the program.
Yeah, of course, several times.
He's excellent.
I was with him last month at Red Pill.
Yes.
And he interviewed me on his video feed for New American as well.
Right. So, you know, we've been punching away for a lot of years. And for me, it's pretty exciting to see what's happening now, because the awakening is very significant.
And they're trying to take down the New American like they did in the early 60s, ladies and gentlemen. But the New American stands tall. The John Birch Society stands tall. And I say the New American, even though it came out later than that, it's emerging of some historical realities of newsmaking and news reporting before that as well. So really important news source, ladies and gentlemen. William Jasper, thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Sam.
TheNewAmerican.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, get your copy today. You can share it with your friends. They document their sources till the cows come home. Most of the media retracts, and The New American just stands up and goes, told you so, and they deserve it. TheNewAmerican.com, Bill Jasper, everybody.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we had named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Two journalists right in a row, man. They're telling the tale of liberty like never before. People are standing up and getting involved and making a difference. That's just incredible to watch. And I'm grateful to be surrounded by such incredible people that take their liberty so serious, because this is a serious matter indeed. And freedomfest.com taking their liberties seriously as well. There's an interesting article that I just got. James Edwards sent it to me, and I've been trying to read it on the breaks because it's just riveting. It says Constitutional Sheriff Wayne Ivey says he's a patriot. Others see something more menacing. Researchers see rise of the constitutional sheriffs as a threat to democracy. Lawmen say they are defenders. Alexander Marazio, or whatever it is. Anyway, this is a serious article. I got it from Florida Today, is where it is. And I guess it's a, what is Florida Today? Kind of an outgrowth of USA Today or something? Anyway, very interesting article. And what they do is they talk about Wayne Ivey and they tell you how bad Ivey is. Wayne Ivey is just a bad guy, they say. And they say he's one of at least 5 sheriffs with overt ties to the Constitutional Sheriffs Movement. Overt ties? As if that's something. Okay, they're just dishonest, folks, in their wording. They wordsmith this in a dishonest way. It just makes you livid. Because they're so dishonest, so immoral, so blatantly lying. They say most constitutional sheriffs formally disavow racism. That's true. But then they say use Rosa Parks' essential talking point. And then they go on and talk about Ivy more. And they say that really these lawmen are just basically criminals in elected clothing. Okay, this is just a shame. All right, let's get Richard Mack mic'd up here real quick. We got to cover this thing. So I just got an article that just broke, Sheriff Mack, about you, about constitutional sheriffs all across the country, and it is a takeout piece like you've never seen.
They like me?
Yeah, it's a takeout piece like you wouldn't believe.
Who did it?
I don't know. I see it on Florida Today, so I'm working on kind of that. I've got the author's name and all that kind of stuff.
Florida Today?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fresh. I just barely got the article, so I'm trying to dig through it on my breaks. But they say Ivy is one of at least 5 Florida sheriffs with overt ties to the Constitutional Sheriffs Movement. And then they say, according to experts that follow the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association.
Yeah.
And they say, here's the notion, and I want you to respond directly to this because this is the key to the article. Sheriffs like you have the notion that you're above the courts, above the President of the United States, and above all other authorities interpreting the meaning of the Constitution, and that you stand above anyone else as a godlike figure. They don't say a godlike figure, but they basically highlight that you think that you're not subject to anybody as a sheriff. Sheriffs are the, quote, ultimate authority on what is and what is not constitutional, allowing them to interpret and implement only the laws they see fit. Your response, sir?
Okay, let's take that the other way. It would seem to me that they are supporting any type of tyranny, oppressive government, abusive government, and saying that government can do whatever the hell it pleases, whenever it wants, and that nobody can say anything about it. Isn't that the alternative with what they're really saying?
Yes, it is. And they might not realize the sheriff has no power in that statement as well.
Well, yeah, exactly.
No authority.
And I will tell you this. I have never seen anything where the president of the United States can tell a sheriff what to do in his job. I don't see that anywhere. I don't see where the president has the authority. And for them to say that the sheriff believes he's above the president, that's almost a non-issue.
Well, let me tell you why it's a false argument, deceptive, satanic false argument.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
As far as I understand, the Declaration of Independence says government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. That's we the people.
Correct.
And the document called the Constitution for the United States of America lays out that we have jurisdictionally given different responsibilities to different people.
Yeah.
So in other words, I give some responsibility to the state of which I live. I give some responsibility to the general government. That ties us together. As your Antonin Scalia Supreme Court win, the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in American history, highlights, they are dual sovereigns.
Right.
All right. Now, if that's true, and you work for a county because you're elected by we the people, we've delegated authority to you as a sheriff, and then we've delegated authority to the President of the United States, but the authority you guys have derived from our consent is not one above the other or one on top of the other. In fact, they're jurisdictional differences, intentionally right. So. So how is it a battle between you and the president in the first place? The answer is it's not.
It's not.
So they lie.
And you know, I have lots of answers to tell that reporter, who I don't believe ever talked to me. But the main one is this. Every single official... members of the United States Supreme Court, the president, all the congressmen and senators, the sheriffs, the governors, the city councils, county commissioners, patrol officers, every single one of us swore an oath in God's name that we would uphold, defend, protect, and preserve the United States Constitution. If those in other traffic lanes, i.e., the judicial branch or the legislative branch, do not keep their word. This article is saying I have to go along, and I am saying that we do not, and that liberty comes first, and that my job is to promote, defend, and preserve liberty. And yes, if that means going above other people or around them, because they're not above me, I'll go around them, then yes, we absolutely train to do that.
So let me give the highlight quintessential point. Bill Clinton said, Sheriff Mack, you will carry out the Brady Bill. And Sheriff Richard Mack, as a current sitting sheriff, said, no, I will not. And Bill Clinton said, I'm going to arrest you then, Sheriff. And Sheriff Richard Mack said, I don't think so. And we did not go out of the law. We used the law.
And I got an injunction against him arresting me.
And we stopped all that. And then you went to the Supreme Court eventually, and the Supreme Court said Richard Mack is right, Bill Clinton's wrong. And in the decision, it said that the federal government has no authority to order around.
And I'll bet that article never said anything about that.
Of course not. But then, so the federal government doesn't have authority to demand any state officials do anything at all. So you're not saying that you're above the law. You're simply saying there is the law, and they're not above it either.
Right.
And don't pretend they are. Now, they continue in the article and say the language of the movement is worrying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it dovetails with militias and right-wing extremists. And it's troubling when any law enforcement official claims they're above the law, claims they're sovereign and above the law.
You mean like senators and presidents who do not obey the supreme law of the land, that kind of above the law?
Yeah, but I don't know a single sheriff, and I've been watching this movement and involved in this as much as you can be from a civilian, from a citizen, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, is there anybody more involved than me besides Tanya? I don't know. Probably not. All I'm telling you is I've been involved to the hilt as much as I can get. I have never, ever,
statement. Very true.
I have never talked to a single sheriff that says he's above the law or even thinks that. I've never seen a one.
Quite to the contrary. We claim that they have to answer to the law, and that is the supreme law of the land, which they take an oath to. And specifically, more specifically, the Bill of Rights. So they have to obey the Bill of Rights before any other statute or pretend legislation.
So check this out. Then the article says, we have not traced any above-the-law acts to any of these sheriffs, but they support the Stop the Steal movement and da-da-da-da, and they support all these. But none of these things that are law-breaking have been traced to any of these sheriffs.
You mean we should support the steal? They want us to support the steal. Okay,
I guess so.
See, we are against stealing, and we are against fraudulent elections, and always have been. And we would like to see all of those investigated properly and safeguards in place to guarantee our voting rights, but no.
Yeah, it's insane. Then they say this is the final part of the article, and I know we're out of time. I need you on more to discuss this in more detail. But here's they say this. Here's the constitutional sheriff's movement. It's simply put, here's how it is, Sheriff. Sheriffs are the ultimate authority on what is and what is not constitutional, allowing them to interpret and influence the laws which they see fit.
Okay, and I never use the word interpret.
But that's a lie.
That's a lie. Total lie. And that I've ever been involved in any type of militia is also a lie. So if they would just speak to me first, but they have their own agenda and what they want to write.
So. And so they finalize by saying, Sheriff Ivey refused to answer questions for this article.
Good.
And my response is this, you know what, why don't they call me? I'll talk to them about the article till the cows come home. Well, I'll eat them for lunch. You're willing to talk to them, why don't they call you?
Why don't they? Yeah, good question.
Because they're chicken, because they don't want the truth, because they're afraid of the honest, open, candid conversation that will ensue.
Right.
Right?
Oh, of course.
By the way, we're at Freedom Fest. I'm going to get you this article. We're going to talk about it in some of the different sessions that we're having a little bit more in detail, because these people flat out have a dishonest lie on their hands.
They've given us more ammunition to discuss while we're here. That's great.
But I think they need to be sued, Sheriff.
Maybe so.
Because you know what? Saying that you think you're above the law, saying that you think that you have every right just to do whatever you want with the law, and that's what your organization teaches, is a flat-out fraudulent statement.
It is. Anything to do with militia is also just absolutely crazy.
And then they go on and they act like you and I supported, or I shouldn't say I really, but I guess I'm part of the CSPOA too.
You are.
They basically say that we cheered on the riots, January 6th. You know what?
Quite oh, my God. When I told people not to go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I didn't even
people,
go, and I told everybody else not to go.
And if you want another example, even the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, we wrote a press release against that takeover. I mean, what more do you people want? You're lying, and you need to be stopped in the courts.
Yeah. I would love to sue them, but the way the lawsuits go with defamation and slander, it wouldn't go anywhere. So
yeah,
I would love to do it though. I love to call them out to open debate, like just like I did Southern Poverty Law Center. Did Southern Poverty Law Center want to debate me publicly?
No,
in fact, they
lied. They lied about our presentation. Said we were inciting violence. We had video to prove they were lying, and they printed a retraction.
Yeah, in the smallest place they could.
But, dishonest thugs from the pit of hell. They need to stop.
Yeah, but I would love to still contact the guy who wrote the article and challenge him to open debate.
We're going
to
do it. We're going to make it happen.
Yep.
All right. This is the place you heard it first. Anyway, interesting. I just thought I'd grab you for that. We're flat out of time, but thank you, Sheriff.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Richard Max going back to his booth, ladies and gentlemen. His booth, what, 801?
I think so.
Books.
Or I'm going to Beth Ann, actually.
And you know what? He's got a bunch of sheriffs with him, too. Can you imagine that? Richard Mack has a bunch of sheriffs with him, too. And you can ask any one of them if they think they're above the law. And you see what they say right here live at Freedom Fest. You just walk up to the sheriff and say, sir, do you think you're above the law? And you let them respond to that. Because I'm telling you, it's a lie straight from the adversary to deceive you, ladies and gentlemen. What the sheriffs believe is there are constitutional checks and balances, and every one of them have an oath to the Constitution. And if bureaucrats and professional do-gooders break the law, they need to be held accountable as well. Is the sheriff a king? Far from. But does he have tremendous authority? Should he live up to his privilege in his county? Absolutely. Are there delegated authorities jurisdictionally that need to be understood? Without question. All right, that's the final. 2 hours in the can. We got a bunch of interviews coming up today. We'll play that back on previous or former or future broadcasts, I should say. Future broadcasts will be live tomorrow and Saturday from Freedom Fest as well. FreedomFest.com. I am Sam Bushman. For we the people, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States. of America.